Seeking the help of God, dear friends, in your prayerful and loving attention, I would ask you to turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles. And we go to chapter 1. And we read verses 8 and 9. The 8th and 9th verses in chapter 1, the Acts of the Apostles. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Well, we bring this word before you, dear friends, in consideration of the fact that Ascension Day is next Thursday, the 14th of May. And so next Lord's Day it will have passed, and this Sunday, this Lord's Day, then the Lord was in the latter part of the 40 days that he was with his apostles and others as well, because we read that he was with 500 brethren at once. And so there was a company of favoured believers who were with the Lord for those 40 days after his resurrection. And here we have the Lord's dear apostles, you see, witnessing this wonderful ascension. And so, you see, we desire to remember the very important dates in the Christian calendar. We remember Christmas. We desire to rightly celebrate the birth of Christ. We think of Easter, the sufferings and death of Christ. And we think of the resurrection, and then the ascension, and then later the day of Pentecost, and then later the day of atonement. And these very, very important occasions in the life of Christ are well worthy to be remembered and considered and preached from every year. And friends, I would venture this, that if your birthday came round and no one acknowledged it and no one wished you the Lord's blessing on your birthday, it was completely ignored and completely forgotten, I think we would all be rather offended and upset. We desire our birthdays to be remembered, and we desire to remember these vital matters of vital importance, because they're doctrine. They're doctrine. And the experience of doctrine, friends, is Christian experience. And so, the dear Redeemer then ascended. While they beheld, he was taken up. Now the Old Testament testifies of this beautifully, and of course there were two of the ancient saints who went up. The first one, of course, was Enoch. He was translated to heaven. He went up to heaven. He didn't pass through death. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so there is the first one that I would bring before you. And then, of course, the second is Elijah. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind. And who saw him go? Elisha was with him when he went up. And the mantle fell from Elijah. And dear Elisha took the mantle up and went to the Jordan. Where is the God of Elijah? And the waters were divided. And he went over on dry land. And the people witnessed this and said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And so you see, dear friends, this was prefigured in the Old Testament that the Lord Jesus would ascend and return to glory when he had finished the work which God the Father gave him to do. And then, you see, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, I read the psalm as I did, the 68th, you see, because there it speaks of the chariots of God, of 20,000, even thousands of angels, and the Lord has ascended on high and led captivity captive. Well, of course, this was all beautifully accomplished, and this happened when Christ went up, he ascended. He went up with a shout, and the holy angels, you see, were there. Psalm 47 testifies, God is gone up with a shout. The Lord with a sound of a trumpet. There was the shout of victory. There was the sound of trumpets. And when Christ comes a second time, he will come with a shout. And all the holy angels will be with him. And the angels were here when he was born. The angels were here when he ascended. And he went up with that shout. God is gone up with a shout. And the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. So what a sacred occasion it was. What a wonderful occasion it was. You see. And yet he was with his, how can I express it? His favoured disciples, yes. And the dear apostles. And he gave to them, as of course it states in the Acts, in this chapter, he gave to them those infallible proofs concerning his resurrection. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Well, the Acts of the Apostles is so, as it says, the Acts. It was the actions of the apostles under the divine power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord Jesus said, did he not, to tarry in Jerusalem and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So they had to wait. What did they wait for? What were they waiting for? They were waiting for the gift of God's Holy Spirit. That's what they waited for. And they waited in Jerusalem. They waited. Should not depart from Jerusalem. Well, they had to wait for this sacred time when God would give the gift of his Holy Spirit to the church of God. And that was the day of Pentecost. And that ancient feast was the Feast of Weeks, which was observed all down through the Old Testament history. The Feast of Weeks. 7 weeks, 49 days. On the 50th day was Pentecost. And on the 50th day, after Easter, the crucifixion, then it's Pentecost, 50 days. You see, God is a God of perfect order. And that Feast of Weeks had been observed all down through the Old Testament. And it was one of the feasts that they had to keep. Pentecost had to be kept, or the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Passover had to be kept. The Feast of Tabernacles had to be kept. And they had to go to Jerusalem year by year to keep the feast. The Lord Jesus went with Mary and Joseph all the way from Nazareth down to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. And so these feasts are very important. They are observed today. The Feast of Passover, friends, is to be kept until the end of time. The Lord's Supper. The Feast of Passover. The Lord kept the Passover with his disciples in the upper room and instituted his Holy Supper. The communion. The communion service. And friends, that room that was observed in was furnished. The significance of that, to partake of these feasts, our hearts need to be furnished with grace. The grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We can't, an unfurnished heart, destitute of grace, can't keep the solemn feast. Our hearts must be furnished with the precious gifts that the Lord said would be given on that day. So, ascension, friends, what a glorious truth, isn't it? Of course, it was honoured in the land years and years ago at school. The Ascension Day was always remembered, always spoke of. Indeed it was. What about today, friends? All these things are forgotten. The schools, the children, the people are ignorant of these sacred events that took place and have a bearing on the Church of God down to the end of all time. And upon every true believer. But if we don't know an ascended Saviour, friends, it'll be very solemn. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God the Father. We're not to grovel here below, fond of these trifling toys. Our hearts and minds need to be rise from the ground, from the dust of this earth, and to be under the divine power and influence of the Spirit. So the Lord Jesus said to his apostles concerning that he must, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so you see, the Lord said that I will give you another Comforter, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So, the Lord is risen. And those 40 days, these infallible proofs. Now, let us ask ourselves this question, dear friends. Has the Lord given to us an infallible proof? It's a beautiful word. I cannot recall another place in Scripture where the word infallible is used. I cannot bring one place to my mind, but it's used here regarding what the Lord has done or did and does for his people today. That's an infallible proof. Now, infallible, what does it mean? It means it can never be wrong. It can never err. It's sure. It's certain, it's true, it's infallible. It can never change, it can never be undermined. It's an infallible proof. Nothing on earth can undermine it. It's infallible. Well, by nature, friends, we are fallible creatures. But the Lord Jesus is infallible. Fallible. He's eternally the same. He never changes. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Lord Jesus is the same, dear friends. Continually. He never changes. And that's our mercy. We change. Doubts and fears and unbelief and the sore temptations of Satan and all the conflict within and without sometimes. We change. But God is eternally the same. What a wonderful mercy that is. He's infallible. He's eternal. His word can never, never err. It's perfect. It's holy. It's unchanging. When this world is no more, the word of God will live and abide forever. Every word of God is truth. You can trust and rely upon the word of God totally, completely and absolutely. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And so we come to the scriptures for everything in our lives. Everything in our lives, no matter what it is, the Word of God. And friends, we come to the Word of God continually. Now, we may not understand perfectly or fully everything that we read. At home, this last few days, we've been reading in Daniel. Now, chapter 11 in the book of Daniel. Who understands that chapter? Who perfectly and fully understands it? I don't. I don't think anybody here does. Theologians have always differed on the interpretation of it. But nevertheless, it's the Word of God, and we read it. Although we may not fully understand. Chapter 7 and 8 as well is hard to understand. Whereas other chapters, we can understand by divine inspiration and revelation very easily. And there are a few chapters in the scriptures, friends, in the revelation. Profound depths. J.C. Philpott said, as it comes to mind immediately, he said, I've been a scholar of the scriptures, he said, for 35 years, and I do not profess to understand all the revelation of John the Divine. J.C. Philpott, the greatest theologian that this denomination has ever known. And that's what he said. I'm quoting what he said. Nevertheless, There's many truths that we do perfectly understand and we love. And it may be as we journey on, the Lord will give us a greater understanding concerning his word as we proceed. And so this brings me to another point, the wonder of truth, because Barak and Deborah was raised up to be one of the judges in Israel, and she went to war against the Canaanites, and she took this man Barak, and they went together, and they gained a victory over Canaan, who mightily oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years. Now, the song of thanksgiving, and of course they gained the victory, they subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan. They were subdued, the children of Israel gained the victory, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Now this is very much in keeping, of course, with the verse, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts from men." You see, led captivity captive, because this is what Barak and Deborah did. Because in her song of thanksgiving, or in their song of thanksgiving, she said this, or this is quoted, "Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam, lead thy captivity captive." That's just what the Lord did. This was spoken prophetically concerning Christ. And what a wonderful proof it is of the glory of truth, that here, several thousand years before the birth of Christ, Deborah and Barak gained this victory, and they saw Christ die. And she wrote, as divinely inspired, this verse 12 in the fifth chapter of the Judges. And it was fulfilled, dear friends, you see, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Very beautiful, isn't it? Very wonderful. And this is the glory of truth in the Old Testament that's all been fulfilled by Christ in the New. And so we rejoice in this and thank God. And we desire to wait upon the Lord continually in his precious word. And as you consider the Old Testament, then the Lord leads us to the dear Redeemer in the New Testament of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So you shall receive power. This then, dear friends, is the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended. The last words in verse 8. Oh, what words they are. How beautiful. And how they've been fulfilled. And that is the ministry, you see. Judea, beginning at Jerusalem. Judea, Samaria. And then unto the uttermost part of the earth. The furthest point of all the world. The truth will go. The witness of truth will be worldwide. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," the Lord said, as recorded in Mark. Now, in Matthew, we read concerning this matter as well, concerning the Lord Jesus and what was said. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. That's the testimony of Matthew. The testimony then concerning Luke is very beautiful because we read that the Lord led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So, you see, as he was blessing his dear apostles, he was parted from them while he was blessing them. Isn't that beautiful, dear friends? Oh, is that the end you desire? That the Lord will be blessing you when he takes you home to glory? It came to pass when he blessed him, he was parted from them. Oh, friends, what a favoured season it was. And what do? They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And friends, that's the church of God today. To continue worshipping in Jerusalem, which of course is a type of the church of God. Zion, the church of the living God. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Continually. And this is the exercise, you see, of the church of God today. The Lord has ascended. We have the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And we continue in worship. We continue in doctrine, in faith, in practice. By the power of God's Holy Spirit, ye shall receive power. And so, you see, the work of Christ was finished. That is the work of salvation. It's a finished work. But the work of his priestly office continues. Because he entered heaven, the Holy of Holies, by his own precious blood. And there, to represent his dear people, to plead for them at God's right hand. Well, dear friends, the wonder then of the things of God. And so, Christ has been ascended to fulfill that office, and he's given to us his Holy Spirit, so that we can continue in worship and praise and glorify God for all that he has done. Well, friends, what can we do? We can do nothing apart from the Spirit. But under the divine power of the Spirit of God, then we can do that which is required of us. There's no exhortation, dear friends, in the Word of God that the Lord has given to us that cannot be done. God hasn't exhorted his church to do things they cannot do. It can all be done by the power of God's Holy Spirit. So we glory in this. Sometimes men may glory in their infirmities and weaknesses and say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do something else. Friends, we need to glory in the dear Redeemer. We need to glory in the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Because by his Holy Spirit, we can do that which the Lord hath required of us to do. It can be done. Indeed it can. We must never, never, never deny the sacred power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God, the third person in the glorious Trinity. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you see, the Lord Jesus quoted what we read in Matthew. for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And they were. And thus they could go forth and preach so that everyone could hear and understand the gift of tongues. Cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And so they could speak, you see, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And all those that were present on that sacred occasion could understand what was being spoken. What a miracle, friends, it was. Well, may we rejoice in what the Lord has done. May we rejoice in what the Lord enables us to do by his Holy Spirit. Because, dear friends, we are to glorify God. You're bought with a price, a precious price. The price was the blood of Christ. That what's purchased us. You sold yourselves for naught. You shall be redeemed without money. Bought by the precious blood of Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. To glorify the Lord. That's the purpose of being here on the earth. And the Lord Jesus glorified God the Father when he was on the earth. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. And the Lord's dear people, we glorify God. That's the purpose really, isn't it? Being on the earth. To glorify God in heaven. Well, it can be done, dear friends. It can be done by the divine power of God's Holy Spirit. Very beautiful, isn't it? Very wonderful. Very sacred, very divine. Oh, friends, to be a true Trinitarian. To love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now these three are one. They're one. So, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, and what the Lord spoke has been done, and is being done today. And notwithstanding the enmity there is in man's heart by nature to the Lord and to his word is still going forth, still being proclaimed in every nation under heaven. That's what the Lord said to Abraham of old. Of all nations, kindred, tribes and tongues, the gospel is being proclaimed. And friend, it's a wonderful consideration, and the work that comes to mind, the Trinitarian Bible Society. What a wonderful work they do. And all the Bibles translated into different languages and sent to all different parts of the world. What a worthy cause it is, isn't it? The Trinitarian Bible Society. And God has decreed this will be the case. And what God has said, friends, must be fulfilled. Sometimes we get so, I suppose, dejected, and we hear one saying one thing and one saying something else, and you hear of this and you hear of that, and you get so despondent and cast down. But friends, what we need to do is consider what the Lord has said. That's what we need to consider. The words of truth. And this will lift you up from the dust of the earth. This will make us be favoured to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is what we need to glory in. What the Lord has said, what the Lord is doing. And this is what the Lord said would happen. And friends, bless God, it has. And is and will be to the end of all time. when he had spoken these things. You see, nothing that the Lord did will ever be lost. Nothing he said will ever be lost. Not one word he spoke will ever fall to the ground. Didn't fall to the ground. And everything that Christ did, and everything that Christ said, the Holy Spirit bears witness to. Everything he spoke, the Holy Spirit bears witness to. And everything he did, nothing can ever be lost. And so we know exactly what the Lord did. We know exactly what he said. What do we read in John's Gospel concerning this? And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. It's the will of God that these are written. And what is written, so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So this is the written word of God, which is for the church of God today. Now, it does say, which are not written in this book, it's not for us to pry between the food, the folded leaves, why these other things are not recorded. We sung hymn number 4 on Thursday night. We mustn't pry between the... It's not... But what the Lord has written is for the salvation of the church of God. That believing you might have life through his name. We don't know when the Lord will come the second time. It's not for us to inquire into that. It's for us to wait upon him. In prayer, praise, preaching. So whenever the Lord comes, we are ready. We are waiting for his return. But to try and say, well, he'll come, the Lord will come at a certain time. No, friend, no. My soul, wait thou only upon God. I say unto you, wait upon God, the Lord said. And we wait upon him. Insert, we're waiting upon the Lord now, friends. If the Lord came now, we are here waiting upon him, serving him. On the Lord's day, in his house, in accordance with his mind and will, in his precious word. But he's coming again the second time. He's coming the second time. And all the holy angels will come with him then too. So, bless God, dear friends, for what the Lord has done, what we hope the Lord has done for us. And may there be a gracious renewing and a reviving and a refreshing of what the Lord has done in our hearts by the Spirit, bringing it to our remembrance and to come down as rain and the dew upon our spirit in that reviving and refreshing. The Spirit brings to our remembrance what the Lord has spoken to us. You haven't forgotten, friends, what the Lord has done and spoken to you, have you? We may forget momentarily, but the Lord can bring it sweetly back into our soul by the Spirit. And how beautiful and wonderful and precious it is. Well, I see the time has gone this morning. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, returned to glory. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Amen.